Hey, remember to subscribe and follow my podcast so when I release a new episode, you get a notification. And follow me on Instagram. Yes, King Oliver. I am very active on there. Have a great day and enjoy the episode. So one of the things is that that's very important for people is to have a routine and having a routine that they stick to. Like the brain needs to know what it's doing. Although we need to be spontaneous and not plan everything because there's a power with not knowing what you're going to do. But in a life where everything is structured and, you know, everyone goes to work 9 to 5, restaurants and pubs close at a certain time. You've got to get up at a certain time. Certain TV programs on at certain times, you need to have a routine around that. Otherwise, you become out of sync with society. And growing up years ago, I just did everything when I wanted. So I was going out to the club at like 11 at night time, asking my friend, do you want to come out? And it's like, I've got work in the morning. And so I became out of sync. And because I was out of sync, I wasn't seeing any friends because they were getting up for work following the routine. And I was just sort of doing what I wanted. So I do think it's very powerful to have a routine and sticking to it. There's no point in having a routine if you're just going to kind of get up at 9 some days and get up at 7. Because the whole day is now out of sync. Now your lunch is 2 hours later and your shit 2 hours later and your shower 2 hours later. And then you go to bed 2 hours later because you're not as tired because you woke up 2 hours later.
I don't know how to feel about routines, though. I have a very weird relationship, weird dynamic with routines. I feel I can't stick to them. I can't stick to them and I feel limited when I have a routine.
Why?
Because that makes, I don't know, because maybe it's because there's something in me that just can't stick to routines. Maybe it's because I haven't had a routine in a long time. I mean, I used to go to work, you know, start work at 4:30, finish roughly at midnight, go back home, wake up at 11, mess around for a little bit. Well, mess around is just kind of doing things around the house. Then go back to work and just do that every day, every day, every day. And it took the life out of me. I didn't like it.
Yeah, so people who have like a structured 9 to 5 job, they know if they go to bed at a certain time, then they're going to get up at a certain time. But things like shifts, like pub culture, restaurant culture, I used to work in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Your manager does a shift. It could be getting up at 7 one day, right in the morning, to do a morning shift. Or it could be getting up at 2 in the afternoon to do an afternoon shift. Or it could be an evening shift finishing at 2 in the morning. Now, for a company, it's fantastic because you're flexible and they can just shove everyone everywhere when they need them. But in terms of what it does to a human being, shift work is absolutely disastrous. Getting up at different times, eating late, eating in the morning,
yeah.
The stress and the travel, it's so bad. And I'd never had a job before. And I got a job at the Nando's restaurant. I slowly was feeling like how most of society feels, drained, stressed, not enough sleep, going to bed late one minute, getting up early the next minute. And I was a nightmare to manage because I knew all the rules, the laws and regulations, like you need 11 hours uninterrupted sleep. And everyone else just were a bitch of the corporation, just didn't say anything to managers. And I was like, you know, you need to make sure you get enough sleep. Like they can't put you on now, but they didn't want to be seen as like, oh, she's a bit, you know, trying to get what she wants and everyone else is just like getting along with it. And I was like, that's not correct. You're in control of your life. You cannot allow other people just to do what's right for them because it's not right for you. And so I took control and I was a nightmare to manage as a result.
I definitely relate to the thing, you know, eating late. Just because I would eat at like 1 in the morning, go to bed at 2, wake up at 11. Then I'd get a phone call and they would say, oh, can you come in? Can you cover? Can you do this? Can you do that? So it just applied so much stress. Because I used to work in a restaurant as well. That was my last job before the whole marketing agency thing. And, you know, I actually really enjoyed the working in a restaurant. It was a blast. I had a blast every single day because I just meet up with people and I felt like I would make their day just a little bit better, just like a tiny, tiny bit better, you know? And that made me happy and it made me forget that, you know, I had maybe 3 hours of sleep or maybe only 5 hours of sleep and I'm still drained, but yeah, it's weird.
See, the social side to a restaurant life is because it's so stressful that you live for the social side. So you go out for a fag with your friends, you go to the pub afterwards, you go in the kitchen and hang around just to have a laugh because the floor is so stressful. Like, that's not how work should be. You shouldn't be going there like it's the pub with your friends. You should be going there for the business and the service of people. And
you think so?
And you're happy doing your job. Like, when I was there, it was all about the people. It wasn't about the customers or the company and the branding. It was about just having fun because it was so stressful trying to human diarrhea of customers coming in every single second, because that's what it was. So you never get time to do anything. And company wants to save money by only having, say, four people on shift. And then you get a lunchtime fucking tornado of people. And now you're like, shit, there's four of us. There's fucking queue at the door. The tables haven't been cleaned. The fucking gorilla man's pissed off, so the chicken's not getting on the grill in time. And then the manager's like, fucking wants to kill himself. And you're like, oh my God. And then you can't wait to go out for a fag. And it's like, that's not okay. You can't just wait for those like fag moments, because your body was under enormous amounts of stress and it's fucking you up. And you don't even realize that what stress does until you have like something goes wrong with you, like you have a stroke or you get Bell's palsy or whatever, which is like a facial stroke, whatever, or something happens where you lose your hair. Like, it's happening. If you're stressful, if you're feeling stressed just because of those symptoms, it doesn't mean you're okay. There is shit going on underneath in your mind, in your body. Stress is being stored in parts of your body that you don't even know it's there until it's too late. So when you are feeling stressed, never just think it's okay. You got to do something about it.
So do you think that's where routine comes in? It kind of brings peace of mind.
Yeah, so if you're just like a bitch to the corporation and you don't know if they're going to be like, hey, can you come in today? Do you want to cover? So let's just say it's your day off, right? So you go to bed late because it's your day off. You can wake up in the afternoon if you want. And then your manager's like 10 in the morning. Do you want to come in? So you wake up when you're not supposed to wake up because you're still asleep because your phone goes off. Okay, you're now stressing, you're getting ready, you're not even eating, you're just jumping on the train, you're forgetting shit. And now you've got the whole day ahead of you where you're now tired, you haven't eaten anything, you're ratty, all because you just said yes. You are a yes bitch to the corporation. Yes, 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 yes. My company that I work for used to call me once or twice when I first joined, and then they didn't bother again because they knew that if I wanted extra shifts, I'd ask, and if I don't, then I don't. And so they learned very early on that don't call me because I'm not even going to answer. Whereas everyone else, they're like, yes, 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 yes. So the routine was, if I knew I was going to do, say, if I was closing, then I would wake up at, say, 9 o'clock. And then I would have, you know, breakfast at this time or whatever. I had a routine. Even though I was doing shifts, I knew when my shifts were. Like, I made agreements that I would always close, which people don't want to do. As long as they put me on close. So, for example, I used to always start at 5 and close, finish at 12. I was happy to close because it was the only way I could get a routine, the only way I could have structure, because then I could say get back at, say, 2, wake up at 9, and I had the whole day to do what I wanted to do, and then I knew I'd start work at 5. So it was like a 9-to-5 job where I was going in at the same time and leaving at the same time, right? It benefited the restaurant because I wanted to close and others didn't. So it benefited me having a routine, and it also benefited them. Otherwise, you're like closing, opening, closing, opening. You've no routine. You can't say to your friends, oh, we can do something tomorrow lunchtime, because you don't know what the rota is going to be, you know? Mm-hmm. Or they might be like, can you stay a little longer? And it's like you have no structure, and it's dangerous when your mind doesn't know where you're going in a place where you need to know where you're going versus just jumping into the deep end and just like working out to swim along the way. That's different, you know. If you're in a structure, you need to have structure, but if you're not, then there's no rules. You're just flowing and going with feeling. So yeah, routine is so powerful, and I didn't realize that until I got older, because I had no routine. I was getting up at when I wanted, going to bed when I wanted. It was a disaster, and I'd never ever go back to that lifestyle again.
And how does it, you know, where you are right now in life and looking back at how you used to be, what's like the biggest difference? Like, what's the main difference between you now and you then?
I have more control over my life. Like, I had control over me, but I had no control over my life, because people were living this certain life, friends were living this certain life, family members wanted me to do this and do that, get a job, get a girlfriend, be normal, whatever. And I was just a hermit in my own head, in my room. So I had control over me, but no control over my life. So I just had no structure, no routine, no friends, nothing. So the biggest difference is that I suppose I have a vision, whereas I was lost for so long. I didn't know where to go, how to get there, what to do. Now I have a vision. Now I know the path to go down. I don't know what stepping stones are going to lead to which stepping stones, but I have a direction. And I know if I go down a certain way that I'm going to get to where I need to be. Not knowing how along the way, but I have a guidance, a vision, whereas for so long, years, like 19 to 18 to like, say, 25, only recently in the last 2 years did I realize that I just want to be a speaker and help people. So that's like 5 years of not knowing what to do. I only joined Nando's because I didn't know what to do. So I thought I'd get a part-time job until I work out my shit. And then like 3 years later, I was still there because I still had no idea, you know?
So isn't that the beauty of it though? You just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to impact your life in a way that's going to change it for the better, the sort of people you're going to meet, who you're going to meet. But that sometimes that thought excites me, like not knowing, because you can just pick up pretty much anything, especially the sort of in the sort of world we live now. If I want to be I don't know, a painter, I can just do that. If I want to be a public speaker, I can just do that. I think there's a lot of power in not knowing what's going to happen, but at the same time, it's quite daunting, especially for me. And I'm very young, so I've been feeling lost ever since I finished college. I finished college and then I was just like, I have no idea what I want to do. Then I applied for uni. Then I didn't go to uni. So it was very messy. It's not as messy now because at least I know I'm doing something. We're just sort of chilling until I can start being, a personal trainer. Because I know once I start that job, maybe then I can get a routine, you know, get contract hours, you know, maybe work on a business or something. But I haven't thought that far yet. All I'm waiting for now is just to get my qualification and start, you know, looking for jobs as soon as I'm insured.
See, that's the thing. It's better to do nothing in the wrong. It's better to do nothing in the right direction than do something in the wrong direction, right? So, for example, sitting in your room is seen by everyone else as you're not doing anything in your life, right?
Yeah.
But you're not opening up doors unnecessarily that you have to then close. You're not getting a job, spending all this money on travel, getting stressed, doing all that shit just to come back and realize, okay, well, now what do I do? Doing nothing is better than doing something if it has no relevance to your life.
It depends what you do. Like, if you take time to just be alone with yourself and just, you know, read, or even if it's just sitting in silence, I think that's better than doing absolutely nothing in the wrong direction. I feel like more people should do that more often, just sort of just be alone for some time.
See, I'm just going to emphasize that quote. It's better to do nothing in the right direction than do something in the wrong direction. People think because they're moving towards something, they're doing something, they're doing something like buying stuff, moving, traveling, going, looking up ideas, looking at houses to buy, estate agencies, yet they never buy a house. You wasted so much time. You feel like you're progressing. You've got nowhere, because then you go back home and you still haven't got a house. So all that time you spent was just having something to do. And it comes down to having a purpose. People need a purpose. That's why I believe people have kids. They need a purpose. They get to a certain age where they're like 21, 22, 23. It's so hard to find a purpose. So then you have a kid and it's like, now this is my purpose for 20 years. And I'll work out what I should do when they leave the house. And then you're like 50 years old, your kids have moved out and you're like, now what do I do? So although people choose to have kids, hang on a sec, people choose to have kids. Kids are born as a result of sex, but people choose to have kids. And you either choose a life of the natural world, which is just having kids and do the same shit that everyone's done for millions of years and never will, or you live a life of what society has created, you know, a system of a life, traveling, going on holiday, living a great life. You cannot do both. So like, you leave school, college, you go to uni, that's that life. Or the other life is you're kind of a independent, making money along the way, traveling. So you like, you were going to do uni, but you're like, hang on a sec, I'm a free spirit. I'm not a corporate bitch who just goes into uni and follows a boss, gets up when he says get up, comes in when he says come in. I'm not that person. And you have to choose one path or the other. Just because you're in school and doesn't mean you have to go down the college and the uni path, because school is part of the government. You have no choice but to go to school, but you have a choice whether you go to college or uni. Mm. So the fact you didn't choose to go to uni is about you taking control of your life and not being bossed around by parents and systems and people, and everyone else is going to uni, so why don't you, T.O.?
Yeah, yeah.
You took control of your life.
My dad was really on my case for not going to uni. And, you know, I didn't go to uni for certain reasons. But, you know, looking back at it, I don't really regret it. Maybe I regret the fact that I didn't meet people. Maybe, you know, I'm just like, oh, I didn't go to uni. I don't know what it's like to go out and, like, party all the time and not study. Like, is that sort of culture, you know? Maybe that's the only thing I regret about not going to uni. That sort of bond with other people and just making memories, creating memories, whatever. But I knew, okay, I didn't go to uni, it's not the end of the world. Like, I never saw it as like the end of the world. Whereas my parents, they were like, oof, you didn't go to uni, like, what are you gonna do with your life now? Because basically, and especially in our culture, it's kind of like, oh, you don't go to uni, you're fucked. You know?
Yeah, that's the thing.
What are you gonna do with your life if you know, if you don't go to uni and then get a job in the field that you want to do? Then what are you gonna do?
That's the thing. 99% of people, they follow, right?
They follow,
so they
yeah.
all they go to school, they go to uni, they work for a company forever, they get a mortgage, they get a dog, they have kids, and then they divorce, and then they get a disease, and then they die. That's just the reality of a stereotypical life of a human being, right? The other 1% are the people who I would say are listening to the podcast now. They are thinking differently. They don't think like the rest. They think like me, you. They have their own brain, their own mind. They work out stuff. They don't just follow. And these people, me, you, people who are listening, will struggle to fit into society. We often wouldn't have many friends growing up because friends just follow what everyone else is doing. And then we're like, no, there's more to life. And you enjoy your own company. You enjoy walks by yourself. You enjoy reading on a Friday night rather than going out to the club and getting fucked. And what's crazy is that I believe high majority of people only go to uni because of their friends going, right?
Mm.
Because loads of people, they get a qualification and they don't even use it, right? It becomes irrelevant. And the other half is they hear about the party lifestyle, how many people you shagged after, you know, after the club, you know, the culture, the drinks and the flats and the houses before, pre-drinks and that type of shit. It's the party culture. It's not worth 40 fucking grand to go partying every night. You can just go to your local club and spend like maybe not even £200 in the whole 3 years, right? If you want to do that, okay? People are going there. They're just following the people at school, people at college. They're just following each other. They're following the leader off the death, or off the cliff of death. They're just following, right? They have no idea. It's like, oh, I'll pick sport. I like playing football. So they pick sport. And then they realize that, you know, playing football is like 2% of the whole part of the university course. And the rest of it's nutrition, fucking psychology, and all the other shit that comes with it. And you have to read all this nonsense and know about what the bones called, like the tibia and the fibia, and what the muscles called. It's like, that is not relevant in life. It's relevant for maybe the first job that you might get. But once you get your foot in that door, your university degree becomes relevant. What is relevant to the next employer is that job and that salary and the level of how high you were in that company. They look at that. They don't give a shit about your SATs and your GCSE and your A-levels. But what's crazy is that you need your SATs, your GCSEs,
your
A-levels, your college, your uni, your job to get there. You can't just skip and go from that to that. You have to be part of the system. That's why if you're part of the system, you need to follow the system. And if you're not part of the system, it doesn't matter.
I wish there were more opportunities for people to just get in the fields they want, even though they might not have the grades. I feel like it almost feels like it's not equal. Like, not everyone can get a chance to do what they want to do because they have to do, you know, the GCSEs and the grades and everything. And, you know, you might get them. You might have your studies done, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the job you want. I feel like we need to be more human with jobs in general. Because I can be, I don't know, I can make... If I want to work as a, I don't know, as a barista or something, I can do that. But maybe I want to work in, I don't know, in sales. But I don't have the grades. I don't have the experience to work in sales. But how is that relevant? Because it's more about who I am as a person, you know?
Yeah, fortunately, it has nothing to do with personality in terms of a job. They have a position that specific things need being done.
But even that, you can still learn how to do the job. It's not, I mean, obviously, if I want to be a doctor or something, yeah, then I can't just turn up and be like, yeah, let me cut up people and, you know, do stitches and everything. But I'm talking more like corporate jobs, you know?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Corporate jobs, you don't care about the person. It's a massive chain of command, right? It comes down, we need a person to do this, this, and this, this, and this. And then people will apply for it. And if they suit the role, then they might get the job. And out of all the people that apply, they want the person who can do the job the best. It's not to do, nothing to do with you as a person. It could be any human around the world, as long as they can do the job. It's like if you need somebody to cut your grass in your garden and do the flowers and trim the hedges, they don't care whether you're a fucking goat, right? If the goat can trim the bushes, they will hire a goat, right? They do not care what colour you are, what country you come from. They want the job done. So it's not, it has nothing to do with you as a person. But if you as a person need this connection and fulfillment and to be valued as a person, working for a corporation who just see you as a number is not the way to go.
If you quit, they don't care. They're going to find another one like you.
I've always been aware, for example, at Nando's, right?
Mm.
They, like any corporation, you want to make your staff feel connected and inspired, motivated, make them feel part of the brand, okay? And everyone's like, in that moment, just dealing with all the shit, like of just being a bitch, like doing everything for everyone else, and they should be doing their job. And then the managers are like, well done, it's really great, great guys. And you just like fucking killed yourself with him for that rush. And they're like, good job, guys. I've always been aware of the bigger picture of how in a few years' time when I leave, I'll look back and be like, I did all of that for that person. I put myself under that amount of stress. I did this extra cleaning, like, you know, I proper dusted the lamp and all this kind of shit. Put all my back out, hoovered under the thing to get this extra chip, put, you know, lent on the floor to fucked up my knees. I have always been aware of the bigger picture. So I didn't give a shit about the chip on the table. I didn't give a shit about the lamp. I didn't give a shit about any of that. Okay, I was a selfish prick. I was a nice, kind person, but I always put myself first. If I was not okay doing something for somebody else, it would be me first. If I was okay, I would then serve to everyone else. I'll get everyone drinks. I say, do you want this? Do you want that? I'll go out my way to do stuff. It's one before two in life, right? And people call me selfish, but you got to be selfish to become selfless. And if everyone was selfish, they would become selfless, but instead they put everyone else first because they're scared of what people will think.
Yeah.
And they don't need to judge them in the staff room, at the staff meeting. But as I said, I can put my mind back to there now and remember times when people were going out their way and they were stressed and unhappy. And I was like, listen, in the bigger scheme of things, this is not going to mean anything. So if you can handle the judgment and the manager's bitching about you in the staff room in present, it's the same as now. You're not going, you're still doing everything you want to do then as you are now. You always made sure you were okay. You always put yourself first. Looking back, the shit that I could have done has no relevance now. But in that moment, you're tied up in that moment. You know, everything's about that job and the people. So it's very important that people put one before two. And then when you're okay, then you serve others, but never sacrifice your own happiness for somebody else. You can serve and go out your way to make people give them a drink like I used to. I used to ask every member of staff if they want a drink, But the minute the manager's like, get on your knees and scrub that floor, when I know it's only going to get fucking dirty the next day, and I'm putting fucking up my knees, no bloody way. I was a nightmare. They wanted me to scrub the floor in a certain way, and I never, ever, ever did it, okay? Because you had to put your back into it and scrub it. And I was like, I'm not scrubbing my...
Yeah,
I'm scrubbing the floor your stupid system way, when I know this floor is going to get dirty tomorrow. And in the bigger scheme of things, this has no relevance to my life. It'll only fuck up my back in years to come. As soon as the manager goes downstairs, I just scrub it the way I was doing it. And when he's watching...
I definitely relate to that. It just brings back so many memories of...
Is this how you want to be a manager? You've got to get like the scrub underneath in alignment with the mop bit, and you've got to put your back into it. Is this how you do it? Yep, it goes downstairs, and I just sort of wipe it.
Yeah, okay? I used to be the same at one of my old jobs. I would say like one of my first proper jobs, because I didn't work until I was like 18. and then I finished college.
I got my first ever job at 24.
Really?
I didn't work for myself. I'd only ever known working for myself, getting up when I want, going to bed when I want, making money how I made money. I had like 4 or 5 cars.
I started feeling bad because pretty much everyone my age was either driving or, you know, they had money to go out, or they had money to do this, money to do that. I was never a big spender anyway, so I could always just...
Hey, big spender!
I would just borrow a tenner from my mom and that'll be it, you know? But then I decided to get a job. And yeah, I definitely relate to the thing of, yeah, fuck it, I'm not gonna do it the way you want to do it. And I had fun. Like, it was my way of, you know, I know this job is hard, I know we're here for long hours, we have to deal with customers, and you know, sometimes customers are not nice to you. So I thought, why would I be silly and, you know, just sort of surrender to whatever the fuck my manager wants to me to do. Nah, I'm gonna like agree to what they say for now, but then I'll turn my back and just do what I want, because I'm looking after my mental health. This is my time in this job now. I'm wasting my time here, so I might as well have 5, 6, 7 however many hours of just bliss. And you know, as soon as I clock out, that's it. I leave the job behind and I just mind my own business. And honestly, I still think back to that job, and it was my favorite job ever. I used to work as a merchandiser and it was amazing. I feel like some people didn't like me very much. Not necessarily colleagues, because colleagues, they were lovely. I'm talking more, you know, managers and people above me. I don't think they liked me that much because I just did whatever the fuck I wanted.
Exactly. Whether it's Nando's, whether it's any company, I would have still been the same person. If you say, if I was working in like retail, folding clothes, right? If the manager leaves early and says, can you just sort of close up with somebody else, right? Who's not a manager, but the manager's sort of friendly with them and they trust that they'll close up. You put the music on at the speakers, like you connect your iPod to like the yeah. Like you put your iPod to like the floor speakers. You like be folding clothes with your friends, because you are friends of them, having a great time, just having a laugh, folding clothes, you know, the job's done at the end of the day, but you're happy. Whereas during the day, like, when there's customers there, you can't just play your music and start folding clothes and dancing. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to one. If you're gonna be there and you're gonna be unhappy, you might as well be happy, you know. You might as well have a laugh.
Yeah, God, I remember there was this one time when I was selling programs, and there was these two people. Maybe there was
how to clean discharge from your vulva.
No, I was selling. Step it was one. The show was about to start, and I was just walking around the arena, and I was selling some programs to this couple, and we were having a laugh, and I remember they were eating some chocolate, and the show was about to start in like 5 or 10 minutes, and my manager was there somewhere looking for me. He couldn't see me. Why? Because I was sat down with a eating chocolate. Like, this was my way of saying, I don't give a shit. These people are here, you know, for the memories, for, you know, the atmosphere. I'm not going to stick to what you want me to do. Just going to be like, oh, yeah, this program's a tenner. Have a good night. No, like, let's sit down. Let's eat chocolate. They offered me drinks, but I didn't have any drinks. And yeah, I still remember that night. It was amazing. Like, you know, there were people coming down from the stores, because I'll be in the arena and the stores would be higher, and people wanted my programs because some of my colleagues, they were just kind of there, kind of zoned out. So they would come to me and I had to climb stairs, and I wasn't allowed to do that. So other people would get involved and be like, no, you're not meant to do that, like other managers. And I'm like, I actually said to one of them, they want a program, you know, I'm not on a commission base, but I don't care, I want to have the most sales in my team, so I'm gonna walk the extra mile. You know, I'm sorry for, you know, breaking any rules or whatever, but I'm still gonna do what I want to do, because if that person is here for a good time, then you bet I'm gonna give them a good time.
And that's the thing you're seeing, is that you,
and they didn't like that.
Like, for example, they have that memory of going out to, say, the cinema, whatever you said, for, you know, that's going to be in their brain forever. Part of that memory is, oh, do you remember when that member of staff sat down and had chocolate next to us?
Exactly.
So you've become part of their experience rather than, exactly. Oh, I'm telling corporate that one of your staff members was eating chocolate. Yeah, that's only relevant if you're working for the company, right? Not relevant to you. You had a great time. That's not relevant to the customer because you're part of their experience. End of the day, the bigger picture is never give a shit about anything. Okay, you have to have your priorities. Like, if you're doing this, it's going to jeopardize, say, your job and you need to pay your bills. Yes, you should give a shit. But if you have nothing to lose, it's all about having fun. Like, closing the restaurant was some of the best times of my life. Okay,
really?
It was so fun. We used to play music. We used to eat all the leftovers, had water fights with, like, you know, the table spray gun. We used to get the mops and pretend we're having horse races around the restaurant. It was so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Throwing ice cubes across the restaurant. Just fun. Like, it's not...
I never understood one thing. For me, food and water is very important during a shift. And I worked in hospitality, and the amount of people not touching their food, it was a bloody waste for me, and it hurt my feelings because I love food. I love my food.
And often people are so stressed during their shift that they don't eat. They're not in the mood to eat.
And, you know, sometimes I would just kind of take 2 or 3 minutes in a corner just to munch on something. I've been on my feet for 12 hours. I think I deserve that. But yeah. I never understood why managers are so aggy about it.
It's like, as I said,
do that. It's not like no one's seeing me. Like, go away. Like, pretend you're not seeing me, and then I'll go back and forget about it. You know,
that's the thing. It all comes down to what you don't know can't harm you, right? If companies knew what the bottom end staff do in any job, any restaurant, any retail thing, right? Smoking weed out the back, they would have a fit. However, they have to turn a blind eye because no sane English person is going to want to be a fucking slave to a corporation. They're not going to do it. So you'd have no staff. So staff only slave their ass off in restaurants and, you know, low-end jobs because of the fact that they can just get away with eating when they shouldn't, the fact they can smoke outside when they shouldn't, the fact the manager turns a blind eye when they're smoking weed. It's all wrong. As a black and white rule, don't eat on shift, don't smoke, don't do this. Right. But even the managers do it because they're part of the slave system. Right. So the managers aren't going to say anything to the staff below them because the manager's benefiting from having a joint in between, having drink, having food when they shouldn't do. As long as their boss doesn't care or their boss doesn't know, everyone gets away with what they do. For example, right, you've got, say, the CEOs of a top company. They will pay themselves extra salary increases. They get themselves like extra gifts, extra cars, extra money on the credit card, extra expenses that weren't really an expense. They're doing the same thing. They shouldn't be doing it, but they're doing it. Why? Because they get away with it, because their boss doesn't care. Why? Because their boss doesn't care. Why? Because their boss doesn't care. Everyone along the chain of command is doing what they're getting away with. Okay, so smoking weed on a shift, eating halloumi off the grill when you shouldn't be doing it, who gives a fuck? Because no one gives a fuck at the end of the day, okay? No one gives a shit. Everyone has a system to follow, but everyone's in it for themselves. Everyone is in it for themselves. Top end, when they're paying themselves £3 million salary, when their staff is getting like shit pan an hour. That's why you should always put yourself first, no matter what company you're in, as long as you're not jeopardizing your job if you need your job. Every single person, I don't care who it is.
I always did that because I was like, you know what? Why would I care? I mean, I'm here for however many hours. I'm going to go back home and you're going to forget about me.
Exactly. Just why the number.
Why do you care? Just leave me alone.
Well, what's interesting is if you go back to say, it's interesting if you go back to say the restaurant and there's so many members of staff that I don't even know, like no one's there anymore. And they're all part of the same system. I see it. You're just following the manager until you get a bit cocky and a bit more mature and you start to have more control of yourself and you start to rappel and you start to sort of, you have an extra minute of your break rather than being on time. And then you sort of have a bit of extra chicken, extra portion of the chips that you shouldn't do, like put more on your plate. And then you start to realize, okay, no one notices. And then you have like Coke in your drink rather than water. And then you get a bit older and then you start to rebel. It's the same bullshit. It's called life. And you only live once, so do what the fuck you want to do. Because when you die, you're only going to look back and be like, why didn't I do that? Or I could have had more fun. Or, oh, I gave too much of a shit. You have to understand, like, you're going to die, and then you're dead. And that is it. And all you have is awareness of how you feel right now. So as long as you aren't hurting anybody, do whatever the fuck you want. Put portions of chips on your plate when the manager goes downstairs. I remember I knew where the camera positions were. So I would, like, go in a place where I could get like ice cream out the fridge or just get some olives and eat them. Okay. It's all getting away with what you want. You're living once for you, no one else.
No, I like that. And I don't know. I hope people would be just less stiff, less, just more human, add a human touch. Cause we're here for a great time, not a long time really.
Exactly. And that doesn't mean that you sniff loads of cocaine and fuck up your nose. So when you're 40, you haven't got a nose and you've got to live for another 10 years. That's different. It's like, do those 10 years of living without a nose compensate for the high you're on when you were, say, 20? I would say no. I would want to live a neutral life if having a high comes with a low. You know, I remember years ago when I was aware at, say, 18, that he was sniffing coke. And I was like, you know, you're going to fuck up your nose in years to come. And he's like, oh, I don't care about the future. I'm living for the now, you know. I'm just having a good time, which is right, be present. But at the same time, you are going to need your nose for the rest of your life. And this is going to have consequences. And now looking back, it's the time they're getting all these problems from, you know, drinking excessively, sniffing coke. They're having these problems now that I saw they were going to have when I was 18. I've always seen the future. I wrote a song and I'll say the lyrics, ready? It was called "You Don't Know Me, You Really Think You Do." Saying this stuff to me makes me want to screw. No, I don't mean girlfriends. I've done it all before. Something which you lie, but you see you've done more. To prove to you, you're as shy as a snail around gates. You're so scared. Oh, you're ever so frail. You put me down, see, where's my bird? I said back to you, have you not heard? She's tan, she's beaut. She's ever so cute. I guess her on the cheek is the first time this week. Your girl's a tramp. She wears tacky old Vans. You call it class? Puff, mate, my ass. Come back to me in a few years' time. My song will be famous. I'm just waiting to shine. You're still dreaming of being a footballer, but this time out, I would have stood a Juanita. Her, right? And the person I wrote that about was the person who dreamt of just being a footballer, who was a prick to me, who used to sniff coke, shaggle the girls. And I bet right now he's still dreaming of being a footballer, and he's got a shitty job, just a shitty job that he hates, right? And, you know, he's still waiting for this one person. And, you know, I've got amazing people in my life, which is what you call the one person, whatever. So I always saw that this song I'd be playing back in years to come, and he'll be in his situation. So he's sniffing coke, thinking, I don't care. And now's the time where he's like, oh, Oliver, he was right, you know. I shouldn't have been drinking. I should have been nice. And I forgive everyone. Every single person I forgive, because I knew that they do not know what they're doing. But when you kind of look back to how you once thought and then transcend into the future, it's the same thing. It's the mindset. Nothing changes, you know. Apart from I've got my nose and you haven't got your nose.
Yeah, you can have a nose. I never tried coke. I don't know. Have you tried coke?
I've never tried coke and I never will try coke. I'd try hallucinogenics, but I would never try enhancement drugs because I don't need enhancing. My brain's quick enough.
Yeah, just do a bit of, you know, breathing exercises and... it'll be good.
Right, shall we end this here?
Yeah.
Right, we shall. Press stop. You wait there. Yeah. If you've enjoyed this episode, I have many more for you to listen to, so go back and have a look at the old ones. Also, make sure that you have subscribed and notifications are turned on so you know when I've released a new one. Follow me on Instagram. Yes, King Oliver. Have a great day.